Welcome to True Confessions of a Sales Leader. This is a podcast where sales leaders share the secrets of their successes and failures while offering hard-won guidance along the way. I'm Scott Olson, founder of the Olson Group. We're here to help you and your sales team develop the skills, system, and culture that lead to sustainable and significant results. Our mission for each show is to give you transformational guidance you can take and use immediately in your sales organization. Thanks for tuning in. Please enjoy the show.
Welcome to the second episode of the True Confessions of a Sales Leader podcast. Today, our topic is how to navigate a sales team through turbulent times. And just like the title suggests, we are right in the midst of the COVID-19 crisis. And we are all recording this podcast at various homes with various distractions and different qualities of microphones. So there may be some bits of audio, but we will do our best to smooth it all out. So we are joined today in this podcast with Gary Brashear and Matt Green. So let's start us off. Gary, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yes, I'm currently a managing partner in the Olson Group, which is a consulting and training organization. I've spent my last 30 plus years leading sales teams, marketing, and customer success teams.
And Matt?
Yeah, so I am a head of sales for a company called Fetch. So we are working in the multifamily real estate industry. Really being that last mile delivery service for package deliveries to communities and residents across the country. So the ability for property staff and their ownership groups of the owners that own those properties to have a viable last mile service for this crazy package situation now. So our service has become a little bit essential more now than ever across the country, which is exciting for us on the sales side. Before this, I've been in multifamily real estate for about 5 years, was in sports marketing for about a decade, and ran my own companies for about 7 years in between. So living in Camas, Washington, just outside of Portland, have two little kids, and keep me well, it's fun with a 24/7 quarantine with two little kids.
So aside from you and your partner perhaps being the teachers and the heading up organizations and working and doing all of the cooking and cleaning and also keeping dogs occupied, tell me a little bit about how Fetch is doing during this time.
You know, I think like a lot of companies, there was this brick wall that we all ran into right around mid-March. And we actually had our best quarter ever in Q1, had our best month ever in March. Sales have definitely tapered off a little bit in April, but that was really to be expected. Our client base, their entire industry was flipped upside down overnight. So we've had to really work alongside them, really be understanding of their situation, and in parallel, figure out how we're going to best navigate the future of our company with the industry being somewhat in an unknown. Overall, we're doing okay. It was an interesting time for us. We were just closing our Series B capital raise right when the pandemic really hit the country. So it's been an interesting time for us across the board with Fetch.
So it sounds like you have to act a little bit as a fortune teller right now too.
Yeah, in the end, all you can go off of are really what credible news sources you want to follow, science, facts, really getting a pulse of the industry, having the ability to have many clients that are being transparent with us as to what solutions they're moving with and moving towards, what their time horizons are. So really kind of putting all that into perspective to be able to make good decisions.
So Gary, you talk to a lot of sales leaders every single day. Are you hearing similar things to what Matt's saying about needing to read the tea leaves and look into the future while managing the current demands?
Yes, I'm very consistent to what Matt is talking about. Now, we go across a wide variety of industries and sales teams. So for us, what we've seen is it's typically right now those that are looking ahead because their business has really slowed down and they're looking for how they can prepare for when it starts picking up, to those that seem almost overwhelmed because they happen to be in an industry that is really in high demand. As an example, one of the companies we're working with, you know, they have a major agreement with Amazon. And as you know, Amazon's on a high right now as it relates to everybody needs to get things delivered to their home. And so they need facilities, and this company does facility maintenance and cleaning. And so they're really looking to hire, and they've probably had their best few months ever in company history. So it's really all over the board, and depending on what's needed right now in these crazy times.
So this podcast is really aimed at helping other sales leaders navigate, whether it's turbulent times like the one we're in, or hopefully calmer times in the future. So I want to get into really that helpful, those nuggets where people can really take away some guidance. So I want to start, you know, you guys, you wake up every day, you see the news. What past experiences do you draw from in your life to help guide you in your day and help guide your sales teams? Matt?
Well, thankfully, I already had a pandemic playbook for my sales teams. This has been really smooth. Just kidding. You know, right now, I think most people are taking things day to day. Back in 2007, 2008, I was actually a financial planner and was in my kind of second year of my side gig, which became a sizable business in and of itself called Six Degrees. And I was able to really understand and watch and work alongside clients to really understand the slow roll recession timeline that our last recession took. And it really was over a period of a year. Very different than what we're playing with right now. And, you know, in the end, you're trying to deal with misinformation, good information, trying to understand really what the impact is going to be, not only on your own company, but on the people that you're associated with. People are panicked, looking for help. And so at the time, I just provided that. I provided that with connections, with guidance, even if I needed it myself. And this time is a little bit different. Obviously, it's faster. Entire industries are flipped upside down overnight. And, you know, politics have become very, I think, more impactful of the outcome now, where, you know, I believe greed is still there. Businesses still have to operate. Businesses will be bailed out. Help will be promised and maybe not delivered efficiently. Right now I'm dealing with a 2 to 4 time a week communication cadence with individuals on my team, making sure that I'm not only practicing empathy across the board, but with them, sharing with them how I believe things should be communicated externally, really so they can understand challenges. I can provide my expectations. I think right now, just transparency is key. Understanding new avenues of communication are what's expected to ensure a smooth outreach. So that's really what's guiding me through now, really taking into consideration what happened in the past. And I think the situations are a little bit different, but I think the guidance is still the same, I believe.
So Matt, let me ask you one more question on this. So you mentioned the word empathy. And I'm wondering, you know, as a leader, I think leaders want to provide stability. They want to provide direction. They want to provide confidence. How often do you share your own concerns or fears with your team?
Daily. The ones, it really just depends on where the conversation goes. I have team calls a couple times a week, and you know, the typical one-on-ones, and just, you know, you can sense with, like, you have a bunch of extroverted salespeople that are stuck at home, not able to go out and meet anyone, and sales are down. So my end, it's just more kind of a status check and an update. I can kind of sense now who's having a rough time, over who's not, who might need additional help. I almost have to bring in a virtual couch. But with that, I have to kind of share my own kind of thoughts, fears, optimism, realism, and really just try and share that we're all in this together. And so I try to be in as engaged as I possibly can with my team, because if they're not engaged, then collectively we're not doing well as a sales organization in general. So that's kind of where, hopefully that answers that question, right?
Yeah, thank you. Gary, what about you? What past experiences are you using to guide you through this time?
Well, I think this one, as I said to others, I've never experienced anything like this in my entire life and my career. Some of the things that have happened that are not as impactful as a pandemic, I think we all agree with that, is, you know, there was 9/11, which was very traumatic to the market and to individuals, to the country. The dot-com bust, you know, in the early 2000s, where everybody was riding high in the late 90s and stocks and companies. And so it's really a combination of what's happened over many ups and downs in the market, and taking what I learned, you know, as a sales leader during those times, and trying to figure out which of the things that I've tried in the past will work now, given the current situation, which is unprecedented.
So when I look at LinkedIn, I see the word pivot all over the place. And I would like to know from both of you, when do you know when to pivot, and when do you know when to stay the course? Matt, what do you think?
I mean, it's a good question. You have to really adjust with who your, I think, really with who your clients are. With us, we have to truly understand what our clients were looking for last week. It might be completely different today. Like Gary shared, this environment there's no precedent really that can really truly guide you. I think you have to use a crystal ball and really try it. For me, it's understanding collectively if we're hearing some consistent messaging. So my entire sales team, and this is almost like a blessing in disguise, really diving in with our clients and prospects as best as we can to understand what their true top level concerns are today, how they're mitigating those, and really hopefully some of that weaves into what we're offering. But it really diving in for a true discovery of each of those clients on what's exactly happening with their business. And I think a lot of salespeople kind of skirt around that sometimes to try and go straight for the sale. But this allows us to actually engage in more conversation. And once we start seeing consistencies across different clients, across different sales managers that we have, and we're seeing two or three types of comments coming, you know, pretty collectively, that's where I think we have to take that information back to our leadership team and say, okay, we're seeing this now. This is something that we believe is going to be not a pivot, it's going to be a true redirect on how these clients and how the entire industry is going to be moving. And we have to figure out how best to navigate that so we can make sure we can be the ones to offer it and be the saviors. And so from us, it's just a matter of time and understanding.
So it's really interesting, because I feel like you've mentioned the same thing, which is empathy. To me, that response really sounds a lot like empathy. And then the other thing you mentioned earlier was extroverted salespeople. So the first time we talked about empathy, it was about you and showing empathy to your team. So tell me a little bit about how you coach your extroverted sales team to pause and listen, show empathy, so that you can make those decisions about pivoting or redirects.
Part of that is making sure that I have the right people in place in the sales org that can understand and use empathy in a manner that's natural and not forced. And so thankfully we have a really good team that collaborates, that understands where each other is coming from and really understands our clients. So really first off is what I've shared with all of them is you have to reassure our clients that we're doing okay, that we're going to take care of them. And to a certain extent, adjust the sales messaging where we are communicating as people and we are helping them and there is no upsell or cross sell. Nothing of that comes to mind. So how do you engage in a conversation with a friend of yours to truly understand what they're going through? And that's really what I've shared with our team and really putting trust in them with their personalities to make sure that they're, you know, speaking with the folks in a manner that I agree with. And you can analyze that with, I think over time, you understand who your salespeople are, you understand how they work, you understand how they communicate and where their positives and negatives are with their communication styles. And so taking that, it allows you to walk them through what I think their best practices should be as far as how they talk to people in this type of situation. I don't think there's one thing that's specific about how do I train them. It's more individualized based on their personality set.
Do you feel like you've selected a team that is more empathetic and more able to do that? Or do you feel like any salesperson could be guided as an individual to listen and to feel empathy for their contacts?
I think it's both. You know, personally, we have a really fantastic team. And what I've shared from day one of coming on board here is I'm trying to build a team sales environment. What I mean by that is we're not individually going after clients. We're working collaboratively across sales managers, across different markets to get to the collective end goal that we're trying to get to as a team. And we have team-based goals and they're a little bit more, I think, focused on individual goals. And so we have a certain personality type that I was trying to capture because with the end client that we're working with, these are long sales cycles and completely relationship-based. And we need people that can truly become friends and friendly with the clients. And that's worked incredibly well for us.
Nice. It sounds like a great team. Gary?
Yeah, I have that.
Gary, tell us a little bit about your experience. What are you seeing? Are you seeing people pivoting or are you seeing people stay the course? And if you are seeing people take an action, do you ever want to say, no, 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 do the other thing?
Yeah, if I could only do that. do the other thing. What we have to do in those scenarios, you know, as a consultant advising them is to maybe what we typically do is ask them questions that may lead them to looking at it a different way. So I'm absolutely aligned with what Matt was discussing, going back to your customers, particularly the ones that you feel are the best fit for your solution, your product, and finding out from them what has changed. The only additional component I would add to what Matt said would be, and keep in mind that as a sales organization, our job is to serve our customers. Some people think, well, that's customer success or customer service. It starts with sales. Sales is about serving and helping others achieve their goals. So if they're, like Matt said, if those goals have changed because the landscape, the market, the world has changed, then we have to realign, and we're seeing the most challenge right now is taking the information, as Matt said, that we're deriving from the sales organization, because they're the feet on the street or the ears, you know, on Zoom or on Teams, whatever. They're hearing this, getting that feedback, and then realigning the rest of the organization. That's where right now the challenge is: how do we get this information back, and how do we bring the organization, as far as product, customer success, marketing, how do we bring everybody in the information circle and determine what our response is to the needs that have been, that have changed within the customer base? Because I agree with Matt, selling is a team, you know, is a team sport. If you try to change your strategy just on the sales side, you don't have the proper backup with marketing, with product, to facilitate a successful change in that strategy.
So it sounds like there are a lot of risks to all the pivoting that we're seeing going on. Matt, what do you think in terms of the rewards of pivoting?
Well, I agree with what a lot of with what Gary was sharing. Obviously, I was actually going to share the same thing regarding, you know, if you're going to pivot, you have to have your entire company on board, and that's ops, that's product, dev, it's marketing, it's brand. So some of the rewards, you know, I would say being able to truly discover how you can help your clients as a source of trust. You know, you don't know if the pivot is going to be the right move. You know, obviously the risks, you could be wrong, you could be pivoting too fast, creating a false sense of urgency and upending your entire sales process and communications. So from the rewards, it obviously can go a long way with your clients knowing that you're there for their well-being and their success. And when you understand that your client's industry is either being upended or things are just transitioning for them in such an impactful manner, your survival depends on their success. So you have to pivot to where your end clients are going. You have to be the one to help and be trusted to do so. I mean, you'll have a client for life if you do that. And so the rewards are plenty. It's just understanding when that time comes to actually pivot and actually making sure that you're aligned across departments is the challenge.
Gary, what do you think the rewards are to pivoting?
Well, I think to add on to what Matt was saying, what has to be determined, and this is where I think, as we both agree, getting other members of your company, your team, engaged with those customers or those prospects, is this a temporary pivot? Is it a long term? You know, that's what's difficult. You know, that's the job of marketing and product and brand. Is this temporary? Or is it a derivative of what will be down the road? To answer your question relative to the advantages of pivoting, well, if it's a long-term strategic change in the way your customer base is doing business, then if you're more quickly responding to their needs and others, whether it's because they're a larger company or they don't believe it's a long-term switch of the strategy, you could even take first mover advantage. You know, we know that term in the market. Hey, I've got a new product, I'm first mover. Well, part of it is if you pivot and you've gambled right and you've done your research, you could take advantage of that first mover, and you might be the only one that is really meeting their needs at the time and create real competitive differentiation for your company.
And Gary, I'd love to add to that, actually, Melissa, you don't mind.
Go for it. Yeah.
You know, one of the best rewards, what we actually have done with our company is I put our sales team in different pods. So we assigned accounts across the country and put our sales team in pods of three, really just to have a fun competition, knowing that our quarterly goals for Q2 are pretty much thrown out the window. And everyone is, to a certain extent, at home by themselves, and they're all working in different markets. So how do we create greater engagement within our team, amongst our team, and create a competition throughout the team throughout these pods. Part of this is making sure that we're using numbers, we're being transparent, we're creating ideas of to how best navigate this situation. So for me, I'm involving everyone in the communication. I'm allowing them to obviously ask questions, bring out ideas, and really fine tune some of those ideas with input across the team and really seeing who steps up. And so on our end, from my perspective, it's been enjoyable because I can see who's going to be leading these pods, who's got these ideas that we can implement across the company, and who's going to stick their neck out and actually create those opinions. So for me, it's been interesting just from a rewards perspective. You actually can see what happens internally to your team as well.
So that's really interesting. So you're pivoting or you're reacting to your customers, you know, again, using empathy to really help your customers and continue to be a trusted partner with them. But you're also taking this time to, I don't want to say shake up your team, but provide them with some new stimulus to generate ideas, to generate some new activities. And so it almost sounds as if you're using this as a more of a creative time too for your team.
Definitely. From my end, I feel that being someone in sales for 20 plus years myself, I'm definitely your typical extrovert. And if you're cooped up for months on end or weeks on end or days on end at home when you're used to being out and about, that can take a mental toll on not only yourself, but the rest of your team. Everyone's going through stuff. I have multiple people on my team who are single moms that have kids at home that are under 5. I have other people on my team whose family members have come down with COVID and they're dealing with that. I have other, you know, people on my team who are just dealing with different things themselves and they have their own lives and their own issues. And from my end, I just feel that it's important to provide that stimulus and that safe space for your team, because they're not seeing their friends, they're not seeing their family, and where are they going to spend the majority of their time? And that's with us. And so my perspective is I have to be there for them and they have to be there for each other. Team building is incredibly important in this time.
So Matt, when you look to the future, how much of this type of team building will you maintain as a sales leader?
You know, I think I'm probably going to maintain most of it. We'll see which ones work and which ones backfire. But, you know, I think from my perspective as a sales leader of any team, I think you always have to evolve as a person, as a company, and with what's going on in the market. You know, our company was 40. I was number 45 last March. We have 220 full-time now. Our sales team went from 3 people to over, you know, 50 with sales, account management, support, marketing. So you have to evolve no matter what. And I think this allows some creativity to happen that keeps people stimulated no matter what's going on across the market. I think everyone feeling that they are not alone in this process is important. So I think I'm going to try to apply as much as I possibly can moving forward.
Matt, I mean, I think that most people have seen Glengarry Glen Ross, right? And sometimes when I'm thinking about sales leaders, I'm picturing that scenario. And of course, that's taken to an extreme right now. But I'm sure that there are a lot of sales leaders who are sort of listening to this and thinking, I care about the numbers. I don't care to sort of roll out the therapist couch and help my team through this. So to them, what do you say? Do you feel like sort of taking this hard line and continuing to prioritize the numbers and maybe sacrifice a little bit more of the emotional quality? Do you feel like that's a sound strategy, or do you feel like they should reconsider and try something new?
Depends on who your investors are. No, I'm just kidding. I think that's an old school way of doing business. I've had sales managers like that pound their fist on the table while they're standing to make demands for people just to sell more. Always be closing. I feel that if you don't take care and or felt like you are there for the mental health and well-being of your team, then long-term your sales are going to be a lot worse than you would have had otherwise. So I think this is important to make sure that the mental stability of everyone is being taken into effect. I mean, myself included, I don't know how many people can stay sane with two kids under the age of five, 24/7 in their house while they're trying to run a team. You can't sacrifice the short-term perspectives and views of having to hit a sales number for a certain month in the midst of a new pandemic and think that you're doing things the right way. I can't in my own mind think that that is the way that anyone should be running a team right now. You have to look at the long term. You have to engage with your clients, and it can't be a transactional type of engagement across the board. I think that's just such a negative. It's just the old school sales, used car salesman type of mantra that I think salespeople get just because they say they're in sales. When in reality, a lot of people in sales are very entrepreneurial. They very much want what's best for their clients, and they truly are there to help make an impact positively for the clients. And so, the mental health, I think, especially in this type of situation where you're basically quarantined, is first and foremost the most important thing for myself and for the team.
So in your world, coffee is not just for closers. Coffee is for everybody.
coffee is for everybody. And I think in these days, this day and age, tequila is too. But, it can't just all be about numbers. I might get run out of here for saying that as a sales leader. But if you have enough faith in your team and you have enough value that your product offers to a certain client set, then you have to have faith in the process. And if that means you do a 3 to 5, 8 week kind of sidetrack to make sure that you're doing things the right way and everyone's collectively in a good place, then I think you'll come back stronger than you would have if you tried the other way.
So Gary, as you listen to that, that's this more empathetic approach to the team itself. And in your experience of sales leaders throughout the last several years, what are you seeing broadly? Do you see more sales leaders migrating to a much more empathetic role, or are there still people who are pounding on the desks and looking at Excel spreadsheets?
Well, there's obviously all kinds as we look across all organizations. Each individual is different. Matt's approach is, I would say, a new era approach. And it's very effective when you have a very engaged workforce. So I think there's a balance. I think there's a balance in getting an agreement. So what I see sales leaders doing is, let's get an agreement. Obviously, the goals that we had going into the year may in some cases be very difficult to achieve. So let's reset those goals or modify those goals, as Matt has done some creativity around pods and accomplishments, but let's still hold ourselves accountable. You know, that's one of the major characteristics. Empathy, right, is the top characteristic. One of the other ones that both of you have mentioned is creativity. During this time, we have to really turn up the creativity. What we were doing may not be working today. So what should we be doing that we haven't even thought about because what we were doing was working, we didn't need to think about it. So this really changes the strategy around what can we accomplish, what is within our control. I always say control the controllables. So yes, you got to take, obviously coaching your people to take care of themselves, their family, all of that, because if you don't take care of that, you can't perform. But we still are salespeople, and it's a profession, and we need to come up with solutions for our customers, even if we can't provide them. And I did mention this earlier. One of the things that you look at with top salespeople is when they're talking to their customers, having that conversation about their business needs. It's not about their product or their solution. It's how that customer or prospect can win. And then connecting that, maybe not to what they're offering, but to other industry experts or other industry contacts within their network that can help them with their current problems. That's a trusted advisor, and that's a position you can be in this role once you understand what their challenges are. So I think it's important now to adjust the goals, agree on them, and hold, as a team, let's hold ourselves accountable. We just can't sit down and wait for it to change, because someone else is already changing it. And if we're going to be, if we're going to survive as an organization, as a company, we need to be thinking about that now, because when the switch gets turned on, it might be a dimmer switch, so it's not going to be turned on immediately. But once it starts turning on, are we prepared? You know, does that mean some organizations, you know, and this is where Scott and Olson Group, we're involved, some of them are doing training. As a perfect example, one of the biggest organizations that does business to business, Office Depot, they're having their business to business reps go through a very rigorous retraining of all of their salespeople nationally. Their business is way down, but they know when it starts to come up, they will need to be better skilled at selling to businesses than they are today. That's creativity.
Matt, I can see you turned your microphone back on. Do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I agree entirely with Gary. One of the best things we've been able to do during this time, obviously we're still going after business and we're still trying to close deals, but really talking about with each of our sales team, talking about the best strategies to prepare themselves. With a lot of them diving into their CRM and where can they improve? Most salespeople, let's just say, they're not huge on data entry, but how can you position yourself for success once things do pick back up at the pace you'd like them to be? Find ways from the target accounts that haven't been super successful for them. Discuss strategies for next steps within those opportunities and different client conversations. Kind of pick apart some of their communications to see where they can improve. Most people are definitely kind of moving so fast that they have a tough time to sit back and think, okay, what's been working, what hasn't been working. The ability now to focus on future opportunities and create productivity in areas that they may have set aside as not having time for prior is, I think, incredibly important. Having them all help with some company endeavors you've been thinking about, working through challenges, is what makes, I think, people great. And redirecting them from what they may not have now in sales allows them to kind of focus on business strategy, talking through their questions and allowing for insight on their end. So I think from my perspective, it's a combination of obviously staying the course on the sales side as best as you can, but also allowing them to sit back and really understand how certain decisions and strategy impact everything. So that's been something we've been definitely focusing on with our one-on-ones.
Matt, can you imagine sales leaders and sales organizations who will stay their pre-COVID-19 course, that they will entirely sort of be able to stick with the original plan before all of this happened?
I mean, it depends. It depends on the organization. It depends on what they sell. Obviously, there are some organizations that might have been, 3M or other companies that sell masks, and they're probably hitting it into overgear right now. But I think it depends on the type of industry and organization. It's not, from my perspective, as you probably are all listening, work in a different way. And I like to be able to connect not only with my team, but with the clients. So, I think there's still a lot of elements within pre-COVID that you're going to take with you throughout COVID and beyond. But I think there's always a good point for people to refocus, redirect, and sit back and understand best practices and ways to improve. And I think this is what's allowing some people time to do that.
Gary, do you see all of your clients changing, or do you see some that are sticking with the old ways?
I think they're all changing. I think that what Matt mentioned, the only constant is change. It's an old axiom, but it's true. And I think those organizations that are in industries that have had to change more rapidly are adapting more quickly. You know, depending on the industry, you had to continue to change to just stay up with the status quo. Those organizations, we're seeing them really change even more rapidly. Those that have not generally been fast changing are struggling. And unfortunately, I think some of those are going to have a hard time surviving. I mean, change is just inevitable. And if you don't embrace it, you don't survive in business. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Okay, this is the last question. Are you guys ready for the lightning round? Matt, what is one concrete piece of advice you have to offer other sales leaders in the world?
Whew, one concrete piece of advice. It's a good question. I've probably said the word too many times already, but I think practice empathy first. You're right now, things are somewhat improvised and you're learning on the go, and you really need to follow your gut regarding best practices. But I think if you take in everything, that's my one bit of advice today is practice empathy first, put yourself in the position of others, and truly guide your conversation and communication in a manner that you think it befits them. That's, I guess, one bit of advice I would say that I would recommend others right now.
All right, practice empathy. I do not feel I've heard that enough yet in the world.
I can share others, but empathy is one. I mean, empathy, empowerment, and promoting psychological safety within your team. I think that's the best feedback I can provide right now.
Matt, you could have just said that for 30 minutes and that would have been a fully, perfectly great podcast. People need to hear that all the time.
I don't know if someone wants to hear me talk 30 minutes about empathy, but I appreciate it.
All right, Gary, your turn. What's your one concrete piece of advice to other sales leaders during this time?
I would say, as a leader, show up and represent your empathy by listening, truly listening to your team and to your customer, and encourage the small successes. I mean, as sales organizations, we want to succeed. Let's reset the goals. Let's make sure we're all involved in resetting those. Let's agree upon them. And then let's celebrate the small successes, whatever they are. You know, we got a discovery meeting today. We scheduled a discovery meeting today. That could be a success. Just getting a meeting scheduled is a success in this kind of environment. So continue to show up, you know, as Matt's doing, you know, have your regular meetings, your one-on-ones, virtually, have your group meetings virtually, be involved, be in the game. You know, you're part of the team. That would be my advice.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Gary. I think we heard empathy loud and clear. Empathy for sales team, empathy for clients, always timeless advice, but especially relevant right now. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Scott Olson, founder of the Olson Group. If you found this podcast helpful and informative, don't forget to subscribe via your favorite podcast app or follow the show on Spotify. If you are looking to take your sales organization to the next level and accelerate the growth of your business, the Olson Group can help. Please feel free to reach out to me directly via email at scott@olsongroup.net or call me at 503-525-8866. Thanks again for listening.